Valerie, thank you so much for reading that for us. If you've got it open, or actually more importantly, if you haven't got it open, it would be really helpful if you could turn to it. Psalm 23 on page 555. And let's pray as we come to it now. Father, as we spend these next 20 minutes or so in what is one of the most familiar passages in the Bible, we do pray that you would give us fresh eyes to look at your word, fresh ears to hear your voice, and a fresh openness and eagerness in our hearts to receive from you all that you would give to us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you sit here this Sunday morning on a bank holiday weekend, knowing that the summer holidays are still with us, but perhaps are soon coming to a close, I wonder how you feel about the future. When you look forward to the coming weeks and months, or maybe even beyond that, do they look bright or do they look menacing? As you look to the coming few months, do they fill you with joy or do they fill you with dread? I guess that for some of you, the future looks very positive. It might be that you're about to start a new job and you're excited about the challenges and opportunities that that will give you, or perhaps you've got big travel plans ahead, or perhaps you're a parent who doesn't want to admit it out loud, but you are longing for that day when the kids are back at school and life becomes a bit more manageable again. I don't know, there could be any number of things that make you kind of feel, oh good, I'm looking forward to the future. But I know that others of you are looking to the coming months with something of a sense of dread. Could be to do with the cost of living, could be to do with how your energy bills have just shot up and you're wondering how on earth you're going to afford things. It may be that you've got big appointments in the hospital coming up and you're not looking forward to something that you might have to go through there. So I guess the thing is, for some of us the outlook might be bright, for some it might be quite dark. And the thing is, this psalm, whether we are feeling positive or feeling weighed down, this psalm has got something to say to each and every one of us. If we're feeling positive, if we think that that new job or new house or whatever it is going to make this a really good year, then the psalm says, good, praise God for that. Be glad that you've got those things. But actually, it's not those things that are really going to bring you the deepest joy. There is something greater than them, something more important that matters far more. And if you are someone who is dreading the future, if you think it's going to be a real struggle for whatever reason, then this psalm says to you, actually, don't worry. Be encouraged, because there is a security that will mean everything to you. So whether you're about to go on holiday or into hospital, this psalm is for you. It's relevant to all of us all the time, whatever we're facing, because it addresses some of the biggest questions. It addresses the question, where do I find life in all its fullness? Where do I find real security and safety? Where do I find real blessing? And most of all, how can I be confident about what will happen to me when I die? Those are the questions that are always relevant, and, well, I hope that we'll enjoy seeing what this psalm has to say about them. But before we come to those, I want to make a quick comment. It's a comment that's it's not a point made directly by this psalm, but it is still something I think might be helpful. We know that this psalm was written by David. It says that in the heading, a psalm of David. And when you read that, that's not put in by the kind of editors of our translation. That's there in the original text. And we know that David had been a shepherd before he became king of Israel. So he knew all about shepherds. He knew what shepherds do and what sheep are like and so on. And then he says God is a shepherd. And do you see the link between the two? You've got David up on the hills looking after the sheep, and he's thinking about what he does for the sheep and so on. Or maybe this is, you know, later on in life, and he's looking back to those days. But either way, as he does, it dawns on him that what he had done for the sheep is a bit like what God had done for him. And the simple point I want to make from that is that David didn't separate his work from his faith, if you like. They weren't different spheres of his life. His faith permeated everything. His work as a shepherd taught him about God. And I just want to encourage us to ask ourselves whether we do the same. Do we kind of shut God away in the time that we might give to him on a Sunday and the time we might set aside for our quiet times or our Bible reading, you know, other points in the week? Do we have our God time and then we leave God behind? So easy to done that, to do that. So easy to go, I've done my God bit, now I'll get on with the rest. Or do we do what David did and allow everything, our studies, if we're at school or university, our leisure time, our relationships, and our work to somehow show God to us? I'm not saying we should dispense with the Bible and, you know, find God as equally revealed in a game of cricket. But I am saying that actually throughout our life we need to be asking the question, is there something about what I'm going through now that helps me see God afresh? I'm going to see the doctor. How does that help me understand the great physician, the healer of my soul? I see a beautiful view. Does that make me wonder at the God who created it? Maybe I work as a journalist, and does that remind me of my call to witness to the facts surrounding the life and death and resurrection of Jesus? Look, that's all a side point. Okay? That's not the main thing I want us to see, but I think it is worth just reflecting on, as that's what David does. But let's come now to the main business of this passage, and I want us to try and look at it under three kind of main headings, if my machine will work. First one is abundant life. And this is really looking at verses 1 to 3 of the psalm. David is saying, with God as my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Okay? David is saying that when I've got God as my shepherd, when he's the one looking after me, I will have abundant life. I won't find myself feeling empty. I won't find myself feeling unsatisfied. He's not saying that all our material selfish desires, which might be for pies or Ferraris or big houses or whatever, he's not saying he'll get all of that, but he knows that he will never feel his life is complete. He will never feel that he's missing out. He'll never feel that he's unfulfilled. Do any of you know who this guy is? Jason Robinson. Well done, Mike. Full marks for you. Jason Robinson is a bit of a hero of mine, and should be a hero of anyone who remembers when England won the World Cup rugby. There is the fullback, if I remember rightly. I'm not too sure what Jason Robinson's doing now as an old man, age probably 40-something. But when he was 21, he was the most exciting rugby league player in the country. And he, from a certain perspective, he absolutely had it all. He had wealth, he had fame, he had a flash car, he had a magnificent house. But listen to what he said about how he felt during that time of his life. So there he is, doing really well, got great income, you know, life is great, but he says this: even when I was going out clubbing and drinking, it didn't satisfy the hunger inside me. Everyone has that hunger, and to be honest with you, I think it's because they don't have Christ. You can try and satisfy the hunger with relationships or material things, but they're only a quick fix. Okay, you can buy a nice car, but then you immediately want a better one. And it doesn't seem to matter how much money people have. They always want more. And it's the same with relationships. You always think the grass is greener on the other side, and it may be greener, but it will still need mowing. I love that. At 21, he said, I had it all. I had success, I had money, I had a fast car, I had a nice house, but I had nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'd come home from training and feel empty, and I knew that people were looking at me in my BMW convertible and thinking, Jason Robertson's doing it well. Well, we can all put on a good show, but inside, I was lonely. I wanted what Vaiga had, a loving family around him and utter contentment. You see, Vaiga Teagamala was Robinson's teammate at Wigan Warriors at the time. And the most important thing about Vaiga for Jason Robinson is that he was a committed Christian. And listen to how Jason Robinson describes him. He says, a lot of people talk about being Christians, but don't actually live it. Vaiga walked the walk. I used to watch him in the dressing room and thought, what is it about this guy? He didn't go out drinking. He wasn't looking around at the car park to see if anyone had a better car. He didn't sleep around. Yet he turned up for training every morning, smiling from ear to ear. He was at peace with himself and just looked such a happy man. I didn't have to ask him the secrets of this happiness. I knew it was his relationship with God. Jason Robertson, as you may well know, went on to become a Christian, largely on the witness of what he had seen from his teammate. But he sums it up so well, doesn't he? You can have all the worldly things he wants and still be lonely, still be hungry, still be something, still know there's something missing. But this psalm says something quite different. If God is my shepherd, I won't be in want. I won't have that feeling of lack. I want to invite you to try and imagine that you're a sheep for a moment. And if you can think of yourself as a sheep, think about what is it you most want as a sheep. It's going to be green pastures, nice lush grass for you to get tucked into. And you're going to want quiet waters. You want to be able to drink from a nice safe pool, not a kind of raging torrent that's going to sweep you away if you misplace your paw. What would they have in a paw's hoof, feet, you know, whatever. You want green pastures and quiet waters. You want good paths. Paths of righteousness in that psalm can simply mean just good paths. You want to know that the path you're following isn't going to take you over a cliff. Now, if a sheep has got those things, if it's got green pastures, quiet waters, good paths, then you've got it made. There's not much else you'll be longing for. And David is saying, if God's my shepherd, that's what I've got. I'm not lacking anything. Paul said almost exactly the same thing in Philippians chapter 4. He learned this. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Do you see what we need to learn from this? We need to remember where true, abundant life is found. It's not in a bank balance or in relationships or in a car or in a house or anything else. It's in having the Lord as our shepherd. And we need to remember this. What's the thing you're most looking forward to right now? What's the thing that's coming up that you're most looking forward to? Is it holiday? Is it kids going back to school? Is it you know, whatever, it could be lunch. Whatever it is, it could just be the end of this sermon. But whatever you're most looking forward to, great, look forward to it. But don't let it go to your head, because that's not what's going to really satisfy you. If you want to honestly know that you lack nothing in life, you just need to keep trusting the Lord as your shepherd. Having the Lord as your shepherd will mean that you have abundant life. It will also mean, secondly, that you have secure life. This is verses 4 and 5. You see, everything I've just said about abundant life doesn't mean that life is always going to be easy. And you probably know that. You've probably spotted that as you go through life. And the experience of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world should teach us that life is not always easy for God's people, even if our own experiences don't teach us that. This is not the prosperity gospel. This is not saying, trust Jesus and everything will always be roses. But it is saying something else. You see, one of the things that having the Lord as your shepherd means is that even though life may be hard, even though life may be profoundly frightening, well, let's see what having the Lord as your shepherd means. Have a look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So imagine again that you're a sheep. You have been in lush green pasture, and sadly you've eaten it all, and there is none left. And so it's time for the shepherd to lead you to another pasture. And to get there, you have to cross some dangerous mountain passes. And instead of soft grass under your feet, you've got rock. And instead of beautiful sunshine, you're in the shadows of the high cliffs on either side. Who knows what wild animals might be lurking in the shadows? That might be what you have to go through. But there are two things that the shepherd has that keep you safe. His rod and his staff. His rod was a short kind of club with which he could beat off wild dogs or robbers. It's the modern equivalent of the shepherd's shotgun. His staff was longer, and it was more like a traditional crook that would be used to guide the sheep. You know, the shepherd would say, oh no, not over there, go that way and you'll fall off a cliff. No, come this way. So a modern shepherd might well have a shotgun and a crook. But this ancient shepherd had a rod and a staff. And the point is that the shepherd leads his sheep through the dark and dangerous places. But the shepherd is set up to fight off the things that might do the sheep harm and to stop the sheep getting lost and wandering into trouble. Now, if that's the experience of a sheep, do you see how it relates to us? God may well lead us to difficult and dangerous places. But when he does, we can say with David, I will fear no evil. Because he will defend us from our adversaries. Above all, he will defend us from the devil. He will keep us in good, safe paths. So look, if you are facing uncertainty, if you're anxious about what the future holds, this psalm should be hugely comforting. God may well lead you in difficult and dangerous places, but he will not leave you there on your own, and he will look after you, so you do not need to fear in them. And I love the image of the next verse. It's no longer the image of a shepherd and a sheep, but of another part of David's career. It's the image of a warrior in warfare. Now, I know very little about warfare, I'm pleased to say, but I'd imagine that when you're in the front line and you're fighting for your life, you don't get to stop and eat much. Maybe you have a bar of something in your pocket that you can grab and eat quickly to just give you a little bit more energy. But what does David talk about? He likens it to having a banquet spread for him whilst you're at the front line. It's an invitation from God to banquet with him, even in the presence of our enemies, even in the thick of fighting. And there's some wonderful things in the imagery there, that the invitation to the table is a sign of love and acceptance. You see, David knows how he's loved by God, even in the darkest times. The cup overflows. That's an image of God's generosity, of all you could want being poured out, even in the difficult circumstances. And it talks about David being anointed with oil. That was kind of personal to him. That's not what each of us would expect in that way. But what we need to read in this is the loving acceptance of a generous father, even in the dark and difficult times. So do you see what we're seeing? God may lead us through dark and difficult and dangerous places, but we have no need to fear because he protects and guides us.
And even in the thick of it, when things are spectacularly hard, we will know deeply God's rich blessing and generous provision for us and his acceptance of us, his welcome. When Kate was ill for 5 months with long COVID, and I can honestly say that was one of the most difficult times we've ever been through as a family, even in that, there were times when we really knew God with us and God blessing us and God being deeply generous to us. So look, we have seen abundant life, then we've seen secure life. There's one more thing we need to see as we draw to a close, and it is life in the Father's house. I came across a while ago some wonderful statistics about how people in Britain are injured every year. Okay, they're a bit out of date now. The numbers may have changed, but I think they make the point. When this research was done, or these statistics were compiled, did you know 58 Brits are injured every year by using sharp knives instead of screwdrivers? Have you ever done that where you haven't got a screwdriver, but maybe this will work? 18 Brits were admitted to hospital with serious burns because they tried on a new jumper while still smoking a cigarette. A massive 543 Brits have been admitted to A&E in the last 2 years after trying to open bottles of beer with their teeth. Don't go there. My last one, my favourite one, five British people were injured last year by out-of-control scale electric cars. If you think you can successfully negotiate life by using screwdrivers and bottle openers and so on, and therefore be safe, let me just remind you of one other statistic, which is that one out of every one of us will die. Everyone who draws their first breath will one day draw their last. And so isn't it wonderful to read of David's assurance in verse 6? Have a look at verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, all through his life, because he had the Lord as his shepherd, he knew that goodness and mercy would follow him. He knew that he would have abundant life. He knew that he would have a secure life. But it doesn't all end there, he knew. He said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So here is David's confidence that for him, because the Lord was his shepherd, death would not be the end. And it's important that we grasp that relationship. David's eternity was secure because he knew the Lord as his shepherd. And notice he says the Lord's my shepherd, not the Lord is mankind's shepherd, not the Lord just happens to watch over every human being, but no, he talked about my personal own shepherd. And the Bible is so clear, isn't it, that our fate when we die will depend entirely on our relationship with Christ. He is the one who has taken the judgment that we deserve on himself as he hung and died on the cross. He is the one who did all of that to enable us to forgive us, to be forgiven. So our only real question is have I put my trust in that one, that shepherd, the one who will shepherd me, not only through this life, but into eternity? Have I made Jesus my shepherd? Now look, it's time that I shut up and finished. Most of us here know God as our shepherd. We know Jesus as our shepherd. And if that's us, then be assured. Be assured that abundant life is found in him, not in anything else. Don't be drawn away by things that seem to promise so much. Remember that security is found in him, not in anything else. Our only confidence for the struggles and the challenges of life is having Jesus as our shepherd. But also, not only will we have abundant life and secure life, we can look forward to death. We can look forward to death as the gateway to eternity in God's house. But that is all if we know Jesus as our shepherd.
Some of us here today may not know Jesus as our shepherd, or some of us watching online. And if that's you, I mean, let me just say you're so welcome. It is so good to have you here. But I hope that what you've been able to see is how much you need Jesus as your shepherd. I hope you've seen that without him, life will always seem empty. Without him, there is no eternal security. And without him, there is the very real prospect of God's judgments when we meet him. So this psalm invites you to come and find Jesus to be your shepherd, the one who will lead you. And if you'd like to talk to me or anyone else about that after the service, we'd be absolutely delighted to. We are, in just a moment, going to sing together. We're going to sing a setting of this psalm. We're going to sing, the King of Love, my shepherd is. But before we do that, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what we have seen in this very familiar, very well-known psalm. Thank you that you promise abundance of life to all who trust in you. Thank you that you promise security to all who trust in you. And thank you that you promise eternity to all who trust in you. Lord, I pray for everyone here who is trusting you as their shepherd. May they know that abundance, that security, that eternity. And especially, Lord, would people facing difficult times, would they know what it is to have you with them? But Lord, I also pray for people here who might not know you, and I pray for the many people in Moreton and beyond who don't know you. Please, Lord, would you open their eyes to see you as you really are, and may they find you to be that perfect shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.